some big news in the health sector this week, with elective surgery resuming from next Monday, starting with private and regional hospitals. South Australia's first peri-urban priority care centre has also opened in the Adelaide Hills in a bid to divert non-critical care from local hospitals. Member for Hammond, Adrian Pederick, joins me in the studio to talk about this and other news. Hi, Adrian. How you been?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Jenny. Good morning and good morning, listeners.
All right, good to get some surgeries back up and running.
Look, absolutely, and we've had some inquiry to the office about people that haven't been able to get in for their elective surgery, so it's good to see that that can be ramped up from next week. And look, elective surgery is something that's held up because we have to protect the stocks of PPE, personal protective equipment, to make sure we can deal with any potential COVID cases, and note that hospitalisations are on the decrease and infections are on the decrease. So it's good to see that people with that elective surgery can get back on track, because it is painful. I've been there myself in the past, and it's good to get that back on track, and that'll be ramped up as time goes on.
Tell us about the peri-urban priority care centre. What's this all about?
Yeah, well, this was the first one. The first peri-urban centre opened in South Australia at Mount Barker. We opened that on Monday at Summit Healthcare, which adjoins Mount Barker Hospital. And this will take about what we think will be about 30% of the cases that normally present to an emergency department, usually at Mount Barker, which is a 24-hour emergency department, for those urgent cases, but not emergency cases. So, look, it's a valuable service, co-located. I met the team there the other day and with the local health network, and look, it's a great initiative. It saves some of those ambulance trips down the hill to Adelaide that can be necessary, and gets more vital healthcare, not just for the residents of Mount Barker, but for local people. And let's hope that some more of these can be rolled out of the area. It's a bit like a cross between a GP clinic and an emergency ward. So it is the old emergency ward, actually, from the hospital, and they got four bays there. So it's a great looking unit, and will be a great service into the future.
Could that also maybe help with ramping in some ways?
Oh, look, absolutely. Less ambulances appearing anywhere else in the system. Obviously, that will help with ramping, and obviously people would see that we have a campaign at the minute to make sure that people don't dial 000 unnecessarily, like for minor ailments, like, say, you know, someone's chipped a toe or broken a nail or something like that. And there are other ways to go, and GP clinics or your local doctor's clinic can be of service, but priority care clinic, absolutely, that can come on board. And it's interesting to note, during the early stages of COVID 2 years ago, when people didn't want to go to hospitals because they were fearful of COVID, that emergency presentations dropped by 70%. So that's sort of the number of cases that may not need to be going to emergency at all.
Well, Adrian Pederick, member for Hammond's, with us. The state opposition has pledged $17 million for Hills Ambulance Services if it wins the state election. That includes a new crew for Mount Barker and Strathalbyn, and a new ambulance station in Mount Barker. Any comments on this proposal?
Well, we keep ramping up health funding. We've ramped up in the last 2 years an extra $1.5 billion into health. And obviously, alongside of that, we've had more staff recruited for the COVID pandemic. But we've put on 1,200 nurses as of the end of last year. We've put on hundreds of extra paramedics over time. We've employed more doctors over time and more other allied health staff over time. And we will keep ramping up services. We need them, and that includes vital ambulance services. We already have three ambulances in Strathalbyn, and we're just in the start of building a new ambulance station in Strathalbyn. It's a $3.9 million project, and there's upgrades going to Meadows as well, and we will continually to upgrade services through the hills and, well, through the rest of the state as deemed fit, and we are certainly on track with that, and on alongside of that, with the Strathalbyn Emergency Department, which has been intermittently closed due to the co-location of the Strathalbyn Hospital with aged care and due to the COVID risk, with staff working across both sectors and working alongside the local GPs who run the emergency department there at Strathalbyn. They are still seeing patients in their clinics, and there are inpatients at Strathalbyn, but it's very close to the Mount Barker, well, both the Summit Care now with the Priority Care Centre and the ED. It's only 15 minutes up the road, and we are working with the local GP clinic to open that emergency department as soon as possible. But we do have to be mindful, and it will be open again. It will be open to pre-pandemic days. But we have to be mindful, as with a lot of country hospitals, of the co-location of aged care and hospital services.
Tell us about this rollout of the RAT tests, because now we can get them in more regional areas. There's one that's been announced recently in Mount Barker at 3 Polo Drive. There's the Norlunga Interchange Car Park as well. And in Murray Bridge, how's that one going, the drive-in one?
Yeah, look, the drive-in one, I've visited up there a couple of times. That's been open for about a couple of weeks now. I think it was one of the first country locations opened up, and they've been getting around 200 visits a day, which is really handy. It's open 8 till 6 at the showgrounds on the east side at Murray Bridge, and you can pick up two rapid antigen tests for yourself, or if you've got a friend or a colleague's sign-in details on your phone, you can pick up their kits as well. It's a fully drive-through service. I've done the procedure just to drive through. I didn't pick up the antigen test, but well-staffed, well-managed. You just go in one end, they interview you, they check on your phone how many kits you need, and you go out the other end. And this is a great way to save doing the full-blown COVID testing, but I'm very proud also to know that we have that 24/7 testing at Tail and Bend at the Cowtex there.
Oh, that's one of the PCR ones.
Yeah, one of the PCR testing stations.
And the PCRs are more reliable.
Absolutely.
And it's really encouraging that the wait time there and Victoria Park, all sorts of places, has dramatically dropped.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is a combination of using those rapid antigen tests along with PCR tests. And it's about the community sorting out their issues together. And like the mining field, which my eldest son is involved in at the minute, they take a RAT test on their way up to Prominent Hill as they fly out. And yes, they are about 80% effective, but it is an excellent guide, and obviously used as we get school up and running again this week, with students going back today, some being taught from home. But look, rapid antigen tests and PCR tests, vital tools in our management of COVID-19.
Yeah, so if you are a known, if you know someone who's got COVID, who has a positive result, then you're entitled to two tests. You need to get on the SA Health website to register.
That's right.
If you don't have the internet, give them a buzz, 1800 253 787, 1800 253 787. And lastly, Adrian Pederick, how was the Bunyip's 50th birthday?
Well, this is great. And look, I've known, this shows my age, I've known the Bunyip all my life since it was installed by Dennis Newell and the council way back then. And it was great to see Dennis. He's not in the best of health, but he was there the other day for the 50th. And to think that he manufactured the Bunyip with his team, and I didn't realise he'd been doing a lot of paper mache masks and that for things like the Christmas pageant and other events way back then. So he was a bit ahead of his time, Dennis. And, created the Bunyip at one stage. It did have a baby in there, and I think you had to put a dollar in to see it, but now it's free. It was a great event. It was well presented, and we had some Aboriginal performance there, First Nation performances there from the Willy Wagtails, and smoking ceremony from Uncle Moogie, and Harley Hall gave us a welcome to country as well. So, look, it was great to commemorate the 50th birthday of the Bunyip, and he's had a couple of upgrades over time, and also to see Minister Tarsia there to launch the new SES boat, the Mullewonk. It's a new $200,000 boat to help make the river safer. And as we've seen with a recent tragedy on the river, it's good to see more assets being deployed by our government to help keep people safe on the river. But look, just great to celebrate an icon in the Murraylands, and that does attract visitors not just locally but from interstate and overseas.
And what a fitting name for that boat, Mullewonk, which is the Indigenous name, the Narrangiri name for the Bunyip.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And it's a magnificent piece of kit, 230 horsepower on the back, so it'll have plenty of speed when it needs to get somewhere. But look, it was a great recognition of the Indigenous heritage going back to the era of Mullewonk, and then obviously the recent incarnation of the Bunyip 50 years ago.
Thanks for joining me in the studio today, Adrian Pederick.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, listeners.